The assigned lectionary epistle reading for this Sunday comes from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. This is 1 Corinthians 12. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were enticed and led astray to idols that could not speak. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says, "Let Jesus be cursed." And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the workings of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, interpretation of tongues. All these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. God bless the reading and the hearing of this word. Amen. Last week on Baptism of the Lord Sunday, we explored the meaning of our baptism and how it serves both as a sign that we are a valued and beloved member of the family of God, and also that we are called for service to further the ways of the God in our midst and in the world. Through our baptism, that call to continue the ministries begun by Jesus extends then to each and every one of us, not just to those who are ordained and installed into positions of church leadership. In today's epistle reading from the Apostle Paul, his first letter to the Corinthian congregation serves to further this understanding. And Paul does this through a discussion of what he calls spiritual gifts, or manifestations of the Spirit. If I were to ask each of you to reflect upon and then list your spiritual gifts, which include your talents and abilities and interests, what would you put on that list? Now, some might wonder, I'm not sure. Paul wants us to realize that ultimately no one's list would be empty, for every one of us has been gifted by God. And perhaps Paul's most important point is why each one of us is blessed with a variety of spiritual gifts and talents. Verse 7 plainly states, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." And I'll return to this in a moment, because he goes on to present an unexhausted list of spiritual gifts, including wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, discernment, and various kinds of tongues or the ability to interpret those tongues. But elsewhere in different letters, Paul also mentions other gifts of the Spirit, including serving, teaching, encouragement. I love that one. The gift of encouraging others. Giving, generosity, hospitality, leadership, mercy, administration. And various church roles like apostle, evangelist, and preacher. And I personally think that Paul lists listing a few very important gifts, like the very necessary ability to know how to fix a church building, including carpentry, masonry, plumbing, and the yet-to-be-discovered gift in Paul's day of electrical work and computer knowledge. Now, what do you suppose was the underlying issue that Paul was addressing? Well, in a nutshell, it was about finding unity within that congregation. There was an enormous amount of diversity in that ancient congregation, and it was often expressed through dissension, division, and power struggles. An organized religion experiences much of the same problems today. So when Paul emphasizes that each one of us has been gifted in a different manner, he intends to counteract the self-centeredness and the human tendency to compare ourselves to others in a competitive and judgmental way. For when that happens, we either put on airs of arrogance and superiority over others, or on the flip side, inferiority and a sense of worthlessness. Therefore, we are not meant to see differing gifts in a hierarchical fashion, but simply different gifts for different people for different purposes. Preaching, for instance, is not a greater spiritual gift than the ability to manage finances, or prepare a meal for someone in need, or sing in the choir, or teach our children, or greet a visitor, or know how to get the heater fixed when it breaks, or any other of the countless necessities of effectively being the church together. And it cannot be overemphasized how we are to think of our giftedness by God, not for our individual glory, and this is the main point, but for our common good. And if the common good is the goal of using our gifts and talents, then the obvious correlation is that if we are not sharing our gifts and abilities with the community of faith and in our daily lives, then our common good isn't as good as it could be. Ministry, then, is everybody's responsibility, not just the paid church staff or the ruling elders on the session. And notice how Paul connects spirituality and spiritual gift in very concrete actions, things that are necessary to be the church. And again, this keeps us from developing some sort of hierarchy based on who's got the Spirit and who doesn't. Here's a spoiler alert. We all got it. So when we come to realize, as biblical commentator Raywin Whiteley puts it, gifts are not merit badges for holiness or a sign of approval from God, but God's response to the needs of our communities. How, therefore, can the full range of the gifts that are exhibited by the total membership of this congregation be recognized and encouraged and supported and welcomed into the service of Christ in and through the ministry to each other, to our neighborhoods, and of course to the world beyond? So please take the following to heart. If your gift is wisdom, we need it. If your gift is knowledge, we need it. If your gift is teaching, we need it. If your gift is administration, we need it. If it is music, we need it. If it is in service, we need it. If it is in prayer, we need it. If it is in compassion, we need it. If it is in hospitality, we need it. If it is in you fill in the blank, we need it to build up the community of faith in this time and place. And I've come to adopt the following philosophy. Our gifts, talents, and abilities aren't accidental. And our passion and energy for specific tasks and projects isn't accidental. Remember, all of our gifts, services, and activities, as it says in the scripture, are activated by God for the purpose to be used for the common good. For as Karen Stokes summarizes, Paul's words offer a refreshing, even shocking reminder that faith, while personal, is never private. And that the gift that each person has been given is meant to be shared. Let us share generously then with each other. And one of the things that we can share with the larger Tulsa community and beyond as College Hill Presbyterian Church is to fulfill the third point in our mission statement, to reach out with a compassionate voice for peace and justice. And in recognition of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday, we would be remiss if we didn't speak out against the racial injustice and inequality that still plagues our country and indeed the world. Just this past week, Phillips Theological Seminary here in town held their annual Remind and Renew Ministers Conference. This year's theme was, Let's Talk About Race, Liberty, and Justice for All. And in a keynote address, the Reverend Sharon Watkins, the General Minister and President of the Christian Church, that's the Disciples of Christ denomination, reminds us that the body of Christ, the church, cannot be what it should be as long as, quote, the gash of racism still exists. Speaking theologically, she prophetically reminds us that racism is sin. And she rightfully, in my opinion, called it, quote, America's original sin, thinking that it's okay to displace Native Americans. Okay to build nations with slavery. We want to root this out, but it runs deep. But as we all know, as she stated it, principalities and powers do not go down without a fight. And there was an important article this week posted on the Patheos.com website. The article is entitled, Shall We Overcome? An invitation for MLK Junior Day. And it was written by the Reverend Dr. Jim Forbes. He's a former pastor of that historic Riverside Church in New York. And the Reverend Dr. Catherine Henderson, who's the president of Auburn Presbyterian Seminary. And reflecting on Dr. Martin Luther King's prophetic and immortal I Have a Dream speech, they ask, are we any closer to the dream that King spoke of? Or is it now even further from our reach? They observe, as far as the eye can see, we are witnesses to an age of alienation, disaffection, polarization, demonization, terrorism, fascism, and wholesale demoralization. They continue, for countless thousands of our fellow citizens, the dream has become a nightmare. Lest these words make us glaze over, let us remember that these evil affect human beings, each beloved of God, whatever the circumstance of their birth. And after a litany of current acts of oppression that still affect the other in this country, they write, King gave voice to the essential American democratic ideals that may still draw us together as one people. Articulated in the Constitution of our nation for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness for all. So how do you and I, and how do we together, move beyond a simple remembrance of King's vision for equality and actually do something to help change the heart and the mind and our culture? At times I wonder how open to change we really are, as individuals, but certainly as institutions. Nevertheless, it's crucial to reflect upon what you can do, what we can do to take another step forward in crossing the barriers of race and religion and class. Sometimes I think that class issue is one of the biggest hurdles for mainline Presbyterians. So let that be a priority for us throughout this year. And I'll conclude this sermon on exercising our individual spiritual gifts and talents for the common good by quoting the conclusion of that article. King believed that with God's help, we could do this freedom thing. Let's not merely commemorate his dream this holiday, let's prove him right. Let's embody the dream in living color. Let's show where our hearts are headed, even if we haven't gotten there yet. Amen.